Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we have been talking about God's purpose. Now, previously we talked about our purpose, what success is for us. Now let's look at things from his perspective. We talked about that his nature is love, and it is expressed as giving. Likewise, for you and I, we express our nature of love by giving. And that doesn't mean things or material or money, but what we receive continues, goes through us and out. We are always the first partakers of what God is doing. So God gives to this world through us. If you could say if we're clogged up, his nature isn't able to spread through this earth as he intends. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't get his way. Of course, he gets his way, but we aren't able to be involved and available and enjoy the process of what he's doing when we are unable to receive and give what God wants to give and share with us. So the first purpose of God is who he is. It's his nature. His first purpose is to share with us, with all that he has created, himself. He is constantly expressing, constantly creating, constantly pouring out. There's no lack. There is no void. He is constantly expressing. Which brings back to how come it always often seems that he's not listening, that he's not paying attention. And it's mostly that we have misunderstood how God expresses himself and what he is saying and doing. When we bring our own expectations and have not learned to hear him and recognize, and we have not had our senses tuned, it's no wonder we miss him. And yet all those things are easily taken care of by spending time with him, learning to hear his voice, learning to test what we hear, and then acting on what we hear. Next, God not only gives himself, but he reveals himself. So he gives his nature, he gives what he is, but he also shows himself. He shows himself, he reveals, he exposes himself to us and through us. Now, he does this in a variety of ways. He does it through teaching, bringing enlightenment, bringing a new insight, bringing a new desire, bringing a new thirst and hunger and dissatisfaction. odds are, if you have any desire to know more about God, that's God revealing himself to you by giving you a hunger, a desire. If you are satisfied with your relationship with God, odds are he's working in other areas of your life. Now, he's never, if you've been re-spirited, born again, he's never finished with you. Until you have become complete and whole, spirit, soul, and body, he's working on you. He's not working on your spirit. Your spirit is completely done. But your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions, he is freeing your soul, healing your wounds, and enabling your soul to rejoin your spirit so that he can flow unhindered through your spirit, your soul, and your body. Again, we are first partakers. And so God's purpose is not only to give himself, but to reveal himself. This is what he wants to do. He wants to give himself, and he wants to make himself known. He likes who he is, and he wants us to know the truth about him by experience. Next, God directs us. He wants us to listen to him so he can give us guidance. He wants to direct us because he is a teacher, a loving parent, and wants what's best for us. So he directs us in the way that we should go. That you should go. He is directing you specifically where he wants you to go. And he's putting you specifically in situations and circumstances that are good and right for you. So we don't want to, we want to turn to him first. Lord, what's going on here? Before we go elsewhere, before we go to somebody for a prophetic word, or the Bible even, or our pastor, or our spouse, or friend, we turn to God first and ask for direction. Lord, am I going in the right direction? Do I need to change course here? And sometimes it's not so much about a direction or making a decision, but just guidance. Lord, how am I doing? Am I missing something? These are God's desires. These are things he wants to do in our lives. These are his purpose for us here on this earth. We don't know what came before. We don't know what comes after. But we do know God is with us for his purposes now. And the more we spend time with him, the more those purposes become effective in our lives. The last thing we want to do is be found fighting him, resisting him. Now again, it's your soul, it's not your spirit. He will correct and direct that resistance. He's not just going to let that lay in the corner. He wants us whole, wants you whole. So even resisting him is revealing an area in your life where you have set up your own kingdom. Whether that kingdom is built to protect a wound or hide a belief, that's between you and him to determine. And let's stop and do that. Lord, if there's an area in our lives that we are protecting from you, hiding from you, we just ask that you reveal that to us right now. And Lord, speak to us clearly and even make whatever changes you need right now. Bring us that healing and speak truth into our lives. We give you that permission and we join you in whatever you're doing. So later, take some time and think about what God revealed to you. Give him another opportunity to reveal anew and afresh after this program. But that's what he wants for us here on this earth, is to give him the opportunity to make the changes that we need and have agreed to. And that brings us to one of God's most challenging, probably, purposes in our lives, and that is to consume our flesh. Because of the beliefs in lies that we have, because of our wounds, because of our insistence on doing things our own way, we've all created our own kingdoms. And to get through this life, we all have crutches. Because without God, we can't get through this life without crutches, because we're not meant to. We have no source of life outside of God. So we make do and fill in the blanks. And just as if you had a broken leg, but you still needed to walk, you get a crutch. You make a crutch, or you buy one, or whatever's necessary to get by. But God doesn't want you to just get by. Now, sometimes we've gotten so used to that crutch, we don't want to give it up. Change is hard. Even good change is stressful. But what makes it easier is having experienced the love of God. The more you trust him, the easier it is to let go of that crutch. The more you've experienced his goodness for you, the more you are going to join him in even looking for those wounds that need to be healed, and be willing to open up and let him look at whatever it is you're hiding. And we're all hiding something. But it is particularly important to remember that consuming your flesh is his job, not yours. You can't remove your own flesh. Trying to do that only strengthens a different part of your flesh. And we have talked, and will, of course, talk again about going deeper about the different kinds of flesh. But basically, it always comes down to flesh is a way of controlling ourselves, others around us, our circumstances, to get what we want, to get our needs met. But only God can meet our needs. And he is always working on our behalf to reveal what our needs are so he can meet them. And in order to meet those needs, very often, he shows us where we have missed depending on Him, how meeting our own needs has failed. He kicks that crutch out from under us, and sometimes we fall, but then He helps us back up. Learning to walk dependent on Him, it's change. But by allowing that crutch to drop, we not only learn how to run, to walk, but we learn how to run and fly and swim and do things we never thought possible. Our flesh, those crutches, is the only thing that truly stands in the way of our resting and relaxing in our new spirit identity. And your flesh is the only thing that interferes with God's life working in and through you. And that's because everything else in your life, He, God, through His Son, has already conquered. That doesn't mean we don't struggle with them, but the struggling is through His strength. But the flesh is uniquely ours. God never created flesh for Himself. Jesus never had flesh. He never had those crutches. Because He knew, because He was spirit born, He always knew needs met. You and I didn't have that. So we have learned how to get our needs met our own way. And those needs, just for reminders, for love, unconditional love, unconditional acceptance, and unconditional individuality, acknowledgement of our uniqueness. So it is His priority to consume our flesh. Though because of His great love for us, and because He knows how we're made, He put us together, He doesn't strip us of all of our flesh at once because He knows we just couldn't stand it. He's got His own timetable, and we can be confident that He's working on what's most important to Him, not necessarily what we want Him to be working on. It's also reassuring to know that by the time He makes us aware of an aspect of the flesh, a particular crutch that He's working to remove, that the vast majority of the work, the healing, the exposure of where we believe a lie, has already been done. But He reveals what He's been working on, so that we can be involved in the bonfire of His victory. So we can see the change that He's made. Sometimes this is a very dramatic change. And sometimes where we're struggling in an area, or struggling with a person, or struggling with God, or struggling with ourselves, and all of a sudden that struggle isn't there. And sometimes we see it from one moment to the next. And we can tell something has happened. Or we go to bed angry at someone and we wake up and we're fine with them. And we wonder what's happened. But also sometimes it's much quieter. And we only know that God has made a change because He draws our attention. And we look back and go, that coworker used to always drive me nuts. Now it just doesn't, they don't bother me at all. What happened? And we look back and we see, God must have done something because I just don't care about that anymore. And we want to recognize that it's not about the coworker. It's not about the situation or the circumstance. God changed us. He freed us. He healed us. He spoke truth to us. Aren't we privileged to have a father like that? That he loves us that much, that he's not going to leave us believing lies, living our lives with wounds that keep us from receiving the love he wants to share with us. Now, do remember that God, though he hates the flesh, he doesn't hold its existence against us. Now, if you have a broken leg, appropriate that you have a crutch. But that broken leg heals. And then you don't need the crutch. The problem is we often continue to live like we have a broken leg after that wound has been healed. And sometimes we won't let that wound heal because it would mean giving up that crutch. And God knows this. God does not get angry with us for being the way we are. Because God made you the way you are. And he put you in the circumstances. Your history, it was created by him. You're here in this moment the way you are because God brought you to this point. So he's not angry. He's not disappointed. He's not holding it against you. He knew from the very beginning that you would create the flesh that you're contending with right now. From your very beginning, he has been arranging circumstances in your life to expose your weaknesses, your lies that you're believing, your wounds, your flesh, your crutches. So that today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, you can receive the healing. You can enjoy having your needs met by him. You can receive the wounds being healed. You can experience freedom and dependence. He doesn't wave a magic wand. His goal is just not to get you healed, but through the process of healing, learn how to live as a spirit being. His goal is not just so that you would know the truth, but so that you would be set free to be with him, to come out of that prison. For so many of us, the prison doors have been unlocked, but we don't want out because we would have to change the way we're living. And we like it in prison. Nobody expects anything from us. We get fed on a regular basis. It's safe. It's known. We know what life is like in prison. But every once in a while, God says, no, come out. And he not only opens the door, but he draws us. Says, it's time for you to leave that prison. To leave your cell. We have a new thing. So it's not just that he's taking us from something, but he has a new thing for you that will be pleasing to you, that now that you're set free, you are not just set free from, but you are set free for. God has good things in store for you that will be suited to you. Just as he understands that your crutches and your flesh is unique and individualized to your particular situation, what he has next for you is also unique and individualized for you. It will suit you on purpose. We are on God's side in getting rid of our flesh. We have, our spirit has joined him in getting rid of our flesh. Who we truly are is in full agreement with what God is doing. But flesh doesn't want to die. And our soul has never been this way before. It's all new. We've not lived outside this prison. So we cannot be reminded enough to be patient with ourselves and with God. And we talk about God is love all the time. And that gives us warm fuzzies and how much he loves us. But God is also a consuming fire. And he will not allow those things that keep us from being fully in him to live in our lives forever. He will finish what he started. He will bring forth in you and through you what he has intended. And remember, your spirit has already agreed to everything that he's doing in your life. Jesus will put his finger on what stands between us and knowing God, which is eternal life. Though we often don't understand what he's doing, what's going on in our lives, we do come to know that although there is a way that seems right to us, we think we know how to live our lives under our own control. But its end result brings separation from the things of God. Staying in that prison, even though it's safe, even though it's a known quantity, even though all your supposed needs are met, those bars keep you separated from God. We cannot expect God to share his dominion in our lives, to share his authority that he has given us in our spirit with our flesh. Now, as you get freed in one area, that doesn't mean he's done. I suspect it's going to be a long time. We talk about how our lifespan used to be 1,000 years. Methuselah was like 969. And now we're down to 80, 90, 100. And I think we're going to have to get back to 969 to be on this earth long enough to deal with the crutches that we have developed. Because there's some real good ones, real complex. And yet, God can do what he wants to do. He can do a short work. And don't worry about missing what he has for you. Because he has saved it all. He has arranged, again, every circumstance in your life to expose those crutches and remove them according to his time. So, thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again this time next week. If you have any questions, comments or feedback, it's always so good to hear from you. You can use the contact form at therainersclub.org or just email me direct at diane@therainersclub.org or through Blog Talk Radio. Now, if you do use the contact form and you don't get a response, I'm usually really pretty good at responding to those. But if you don't feel you've gotten a good response, check your spam folder. That happens, seems to happen a lot. So we will be getting back together again. Just a reminder, go to the Lord after this program and just ask, just give him an opportunity to speak to you about anything that we've talked about see if there's an area he wants to bring to your attention. Again, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.